Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Beauty Talk. I'm your host, Janice Tennell, and joining me tonight is my sister, Denise, along with our guest, Suzanne Patterson. We haven't heard from Suzanne in over a year, she tells us, and we're just excited to have her back on the show. My sister's going to briefly give a quick announcement, and then we're going to jump right into our conversation with Suzanne.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show, and welcome back, Suzanne. Briefly, I just wanted to give you some quick updates on the FAME Expo. I know some of you have heard us mention this expo before, so we're going to kind of continue with doing that probably from now until June. FAME Expo is the ultimate event for savvy beauty professionals, students, and anyone interested in the latest trends for hair and makeup. With leading brands, the latest products, and the hottest new treatments under one roof, FAME Expo is the best place to brush up on all things beauty. And if you don't know anything about FAME Expo, it's a brand new expo. It's going to take place in June in Pasadena, pretty much during the same time that IMATS would normally be, in the same location at the Pasadena Convention Center. It's taking place June 29th and 30th of this year. And if you're interested in purchasing tickets, you can go to the website. It's PHAMEXPO.com, FAME Expo, Professional Hair and Makeup Expo. Tickets are, I believe one-day tickets are $45. And if you're interested, you can win them here tonight on our show. We're going to be giving away tickets for months to come. So if you are interested in winning tickets, we would like you to follow us on our Facebook page. That's Beauty Talk Online Radio Facebook page. You can follow us there. Once you like our page, just comment on what you think about tonight's show or how you like Beauty Talk, or just make some comment about Beauty Talk. And then also let us know that you heard about the FAME Expo on tonight's show. If you do that, we will send you a ticket to the expo. It'll be a one-day ticket. So also you can forward us your mailing address at illusionsbeauty@gmail.com. Again, illusionsbeauty@gmail.com.
Cool. Thank you very much. And for those of you who are out there who would like to call in and ask a question or make a comment, the number to do that is 914-803-4399. Again, that number is 914-803-4399. And as always, you can join us in the chat room with your comments and questions. Welcome back, Suzanne.
Hey, ladies, how are you? I'm so glad that you mentioned FAME Expo because that was at the top of my list to give a quick blurb about. I think it's going to be fresh and exciting and new and different.
Yeah.
And I'm even thinking of going. So, I'm not one for makeup shows, you know, but since I did that one tour on IMATS with the when the first video came out, this is just so fresh and so new and so different, and I understand that they're going to have some great educators, people who really haven't, I think, they've seen before, but who are top in the industry. So it's definitely if I was going to go, this would be the show I would go to. So.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
Absolutely. So tell us a little bit about what's been going on with you before we jump into all the HD stuff.
Lots. Well, first of all, we're busy growing at Paint and Powder Cosmetics, and we've added a couple of new features. So everyone, please go check it out on our front store page. Also, we are putting the finishing touches on our Makeup Artist Pro Benefits program. So that's going to be in place by the end of next week. So we've been working really hard. We've got new lines that have come in, and we're busy getting them up on the store. And we're just doing a great job of raising funds for Baby Haven through the store, of course, which is near and dear to my heart. So, and the reason why we exist. And I have basically retired from Makeup Artistry Fieldwork, so I'm not out there, excuse me, working anymore. I'm busy doing other things. I quietly transitioned out of makeup fieldwork this past year when I formed a production company about 9 months ago. It's called Esprit Digital Arts Media. We have been really busy to the point that we really haven't had a chance to even throw up a social media or website page yet. We've already...
Suzanne, could you repeat that again? What was it?
The name
of your company?
Uh-huh. It's Esprit Digital Arts Media. ESPRIT.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, ESPRIT is a quasi-military term. That's from my husband. So anyway, that was his... And I like it. It sounds good. It has a nice ring to it, so I'm going with it. So anyway, we have fun with it. But so we've already completed several projects for some great clientele, including some Washington Redskins, a relief organization, some high-profile corporate and political interviews, and we have some projects currently in pre-production right now. This is really something that I've wanted to do for the past 2 years, and my crew and I have all talked previously about coming together as a coalition under a marketing strategy because Esprit Digital Arts Media is really a coalition. I mean, everybody who's on staff with us still freelances, so it's the best of both worlds for them. And this is really, you know, an important marketing strategy, especially in the declining economy of the industry today, and it is. There is strength in putting strong career assets together, and it's working out even better than individual freelancing in a lot of ways because the core of what we do individually makes a fantastic portfolio and profile of our talents corporately. And it's impressive for potential clients to be able to see at a glance what we can deliver to them from principal to post because we are, you know, from principal to photography to post-production. So, I've got this core group of people that I've worked with for a lot of years, and they're all award-winning from Emmy Awards to Telly Awards, you know, all the way around. And they're all very highly accomplished, and I've worked closely with them over the years. And fortunately, we're all co-located in the East Coast area, so that makes it a little easier. And since they're freelancers, they have worked all over the world in their careers, from series TV to major films. We have two directors on staff who are Emmy-nominated, and same with our camera DPs and scriptwriter. Our camera guys are known for their specialty in film-style lighting and capture for the UHTV format, which we're going to talk about. There's a new term I just threw out there. It's UHDTV. So whether it's field production or in-studio shoots. We're proud of our quote-unquote cinema-style post-production quality output. And among our DPs, we have 2K and 4K capability in our camera stable, including the Red Epic, which, you know, a lot of major motion pictures have been shot on, including The Hobbit, and along with the latest DSLR still in motion formats. Soon, hopefully, we will have an in-house dedicated studio with multi-camera capability. And we're going to branch out and focus this year on TV commercials, documentaries, PSAs, and obviously more corporate marketing, which is, you know, a backbone. Corporate political marketing is very much a strong backbone in this region. So in this really difficult economy, it really made great sense for us, hardworking freelancers, to really pull our talents from marketing And the great thing for me about this is hiring makeup artists to work for us. I'm really excited about that. Sarah Simon Vance, who you know very well, who is also Emmy nominated, she is our makeup, hair, and wardrobe department head. Not me. I'm just the lowly little production designer. So I would rather, you know, be part as one of the smaller cogs in the wheel. So on the bigger shoots requiring the services, she will be taking that over. So I'm just really excited to be able to offer opportunities for makeup jobs and to be a mentor in ways that help other makeup artists succeed and empower them. So I still do so much, as I told you, so much makeup testing now in 4K that I just don't want to do it as a paid job anymore. It's just with running the store. We have a whole other company called Military Mirage Combat Injury Simulation that most people don't even know about, but we work on military contracts. And it's just been very, very busy for me. Something had to go, and this was the right thing to do because now I can become a mentor and a hirer to help others into this coming nasty format. I hate it, but it is reality. So we're going to talk about that more. So it's time to let the next generation step up. You know, I had, like I said, my seventh and eighth grandchild born in January, and our oldest grandchild is going off to college. So this is a really good season in my life to move on to different things and at the same time empower others. So all of my workshop courses this year have been completely upgraded to include an interface with the changing demands of HD and the coming UHD TV, okay? So, let's see. Well, and I have a new video that is coming out in June. It's called Special Effects. It's a special makeup effects for casualty simulation art. And it is it's a hybrid video. It's going to be a really great video, even for the very, very novice to the very seasoned person, to learn how to do medical casualty simulation trauma, which can be used in all fields of makeup artistry. It doesn't matter if you're doing it for Halloween, or you're doing it for a forensic show, or you're doing it for medical simulation or mass casualty drills or whatever. This is going to be a great video that gives you the ability to create with Graftovian products. They were so happy with the first video that they came back to me last year and asked me to do this, and have been asking. And so the time just really wasn't right until now. So we're going to be beginning production on that in March. We're just about done with pre-production, and we're going to set a date, and then it will go to edit, and then it'll come out in June, and we're going to debut it at the London IMAX show. So I will be going to London to debut just that particular video. And one of our combat medics on staff with MMCIS, our other company, is actually going to go with us to London, and he's really going to teach you the real art of casualty simulation as it's done in the military. The military really leads the way. This is the forensic shows really study how the military does it. So this is going to be quite unique at IMAP to see a medical sergeant there demonstrating this, but he is outstanding. And it's all very high fidelity based with high fidelity materials, so it will pass muster in 4K. You're able to learn the techniques, and you're able to learn the little nuances just by watching this video. So I'm really excited about it. It's definitely a video that will, reach the novice as well as the pro. So also, one other thing that we're going to do, we are going to have on the April 28th in the afternoon, one of our DPs, we're putting on a 4K camera seminar for makeup artists. We're going to do a live demonstration in 4K doing makeup. And we're going to have the high definition and ultra high definition side by side. We're going to do, they're going to see a 4K image down res to 1080 on the screen, and then we're going to do a punch into a 1-to-1 ratio, and then you will see, you will actually see the piece of the 4K frame at 1-to-1 resolution on that 1080p screen. So you won't want to miss this.
Wow. And what time is this taking place?
We are going to do this. In fact, Matt and I just cooked this up this last week because I said, Matt,
okay,
we really need to have a seminar so that artists can see what we're doing with makeup and how, you know, how what is the standard is in 4K. So, mm-hmm. Great. He said, let's set up a seminar and I'll set it up and we'll do it. So it's going to be on the 28th. It'll be in the afternoon because that's a Sunday. So it'll be in the afternoon. It'll be an afternoon seminar. I don't know what the price of it will be yet, but there will be part of the price will be redeemable and product at Paint and Powder Cosmetics. So it's a win-win situation, and the rest of the money is going to go to Baby Haven. So
gotcha.
It's all win-win-win-win-win. We will post it. I'll Twitter it, and then we'll post it on the store's site and then the PPC Artistry site, and I'll send out a newsletter, too. And I'll let you know, too, and you can announce.
Yeah, let us know so we can make announcements as well.
So I hope there's a really huge turnout to see this because it's for your benefit. There's not a whole lot of red epic cameras out there waiting for you to come and see, you know, this image in a red epic. So,
right.
You know, it's worth your time and your investment, and you get you'll get, you know, untold payback in return for it.
Nice.
So
you've been a busy little lady.
It's really been interesting, you know, to see a 40-plus career have a turn, a change.
Mm-hmm.
But I am so happy about it because I'm still going to, you know, be able to work with artists, and I'm still going to be working with makeup, but it's only going to be within our production company. So I'm still going to be testing a lot. So all that testing is still going to translate to be a good education and be able to pass that all down to you.
I think after 40 years, I think you deserve to retire.
Well, I'm tired. You know, it's really hard to pull all your stuff, you know, to lug it around. And honestly, you know, I've got some hip problems from years and years of dragging and lifting cases. And it's just, you ask any other makeup artist who's been this in a long time, we hurt. We just darn hurt at this age, you know.
Right.
Come off of it. So it's all good. It really is good. It's just a transition. You know, it's just a different season in my life, and I'm still going to be involved with makeup artists, but I'm just excited that I'm just going to be able to hire people, you know, and give them an opportunity, which is wonderful. Okay, so I have some things I want to say.
Uh-oh.
No, it's just to keep you on your toes. So you remember, I don't know if this was a couple of years ago or if it maybe was a year and a half ago, because I know I kind of looked back and I realized, wow, I haven't been on the show since February last year. This is great. There's a lot to talk about.
Right.
So I think maybe it was a couple of years ago. We talked about how home TV screens were getting bigger by the minute. You remember me talking about it?
Yes, I remember you mentioned that.
No, you know, you're not making up to the monitor on the set. What are you making up to? You're making it up to the monitor that the viewer sees. And so we talked about resolution is where your art and skill can get magnified and crucified. That's my term for it, magnified and crucified, you know, especially on these full HD cable broadcasts seen on monitors larger than 38 inches. A monitor that's larger than 38 inches nowadays is really going to start to show flaws. Even though we're largely broadcasting, our commercial broadcasting is in 720p, but we do have cable that is broadcasting in full 1080. So that's where you take the hit. Okay, that's where people start to see noise, so to speak. Now today, you can march right over to your local Costco, and guess what? you can pick up an 80-inch TV screen. They're out there, 80 inches. Okay? What does that mean to your artistry? You got an 80-inch TV screen now that is on the consumer market. Now, people aren't taking them out like truckloads, of course, because Japan just shoots out technology at lightning speed, but they forget that the consumer market, some of these people are still in their cathode ray tubes with their little converter boxes, you know, on the top. So it's not, I mean, they're still out there, and especially in remote regions of the U.S., they aren't picking up HD. They have to, they're still using their analog with the converter boxes. But
I forgot about that.
Oh, yeah, that's still out there. You know, we take it for granted here in D.C. because we're so wired. We live in the capital of the U.S. that the FCC is driving the train. And when they drive the train, D.C. is the first market to say, jump how high? You know, we're fully plugged in. But you have to remember, west of the Mississippi, less than half of that market is full up HD. A lot of them are still in standard def, and they're broadcasting, you know, both signals side by side. And then you, in your really remote regions, you still have people who can only pick it up with a converter box on their cathode ray too. So just because Japan's kicking all this out doesn't mean that our culture is like, oh, I'm going to run out and, you know, buy that 55-inch or get that 80-inch, you know, and start cotton. It doesn't happen that way. So,
yeah.
But it is out there. So that means that, okay, we're on alert, right? What does this mean to your artistry? I always go back to the four major points that will stand the test of time, no matter how obscene this resolution goes. And that you've got to be polished in these basic four areas. And in my workshops, we tear these apart and we take them, we unpack them to different heights and levels and all different things. But there are four basic areas that you must be polished in. Number one, you must have the correct color, and I mean value and temperature that matches in your foundation typing. Because as these cameras start getting better and better in their atmospheres, and they start improving the atmosphere of the cameras to where everyone's more on a neutral, rather Sony's a bit on the cold side, whereas Panasonic's a bit on the warm, but red is very, very, red cameras are very neutral. You've got to get very good at that. So that means that you've got to step up your knowledge in lighting in order for you to, yeah.
I was going to say, do me a favor and repeat that one more time so they can hear it again. You must have correct color, you were saying?
Yes. You must have correct color foundation typing, meaning the value and temperature. Value, when we talk about it in terms of the way lighting is talked about. And you need to talk about your foundational process in the same way, because skin has the same two elements of value and temperature. Temperature meaning how warm, neutral, or cool the undertone, not the top tone, the undertone. We're not talking about people who have, you know, rosacea or a little bit of redness in their face. That's their top tone. That's not their undertone.
Right.
And the value of their skin, meaning how light or how dark that skin is, because the camera will pick up those very strongly and create a line of demarcation wherever it is, wherever it's improperly done. So that's a hallmark skill. That's a hallmark fundamental skill, is getting that down, because color palettes are nothing compared to getting your foundation typing done. Number two, your coverage techniques. That, I'll tell you what, the higher the resolution, the more the camera's going to call out your technique, your coverage, your ability to create a clean, smooth canvas so it doesn't look like makeup, because your makeup will go in reverse. If it's got too much coverage, it's going to show. Too much coverage means what? Creates what? Texture.
Right.
So if you have too much coverage, you've got too much texture. When you have too much texture, your finish is all wrong. So it just took a nosedive. One builds on one. If one is wrong, the rest is like a domino effect. So if your coverage is heavy, what do you have? have texture. What happens when you have texture? The finish does not look native to the skin, and it throws the whole look in reverse in camera, and you can see the makeup. It's a very fine balancing line, but you get those four elements down, and you perfect them, you are on your way. And in the HD video that I did 3 years ago, I demonstrate some techniques on how to control color, coverage, texture, and finish. So if you saw the video and you sort of practice with those techniques, you're not going to have any problem. You're going to be able to make the transition from 4K to, wait for it, 8K. We'll talk about that in a minute. Okay?
Oh, so, my goodness. Got I can't that? Keep up, Suzanne. I can't keep up.
Girlfriend, you're going to have to. I'm out of the industry now. I'm in the back, just doing my little testing thing. I'll worry about you guys. I'll pray over you, no problem. But I don't have to work for it anymore. But you have to work for me. So
right, exactly. So you have to know.
So okay, those four things are what? Repeat after me. Color.
Coverage.
Texture, finish. Yeah, watch those things like a hawk. You got to watch for texture like a hawk. When that starts to show up, it's uh-oh. And texture can even occur in over-powdering. Boy, you have to be careful with that.
Okay,
super
so,
careful.
So we said color, coverage, texture, and finish.
Yes, ma'am.
And finish.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
You got to constantly repeat those things in your head. And those who have been through my HD class know what I'm talking about. We have these little bullet points that I've taught them to say in their heads and to think bare skin, work backwards to bare skin. So that's our mantra. That helps us control it. So work backwards to bare skin. That's your mantra. Think about it.
Yeah. Okay.
So, anyway, I hit hard on these points and many others in the HD, High Definition Makeup University now more than ever. And my entire workshop has been revamped to include UHD TV principles, and we're going to talk about that, okay? So, having said that, let's talk about 2K and 4K. If you guys been hearing that a lot, if you've been working in video at all, you hear a lot. If you've been listening to your DPs, spat out different things. But basically right now in video, we have 2K and 4K format and resolution, which are a little bit higher than standard def, okay? This is going to be good information for the listeners out there who might be a bit more novice in working in TV or video. I just want to tell them that being technologically informed as a craft person like me and you and everybody else is going to empower your skills and confidence when you're working in this rapidly advancing format. So don't be afraid, of what we're talking about. Just listen. You might not get it the first time. But I promise you, if you keep immersing yourself in it, it will start to sink in. It really will, because makeup artists now have to have some basic technology about the format that we're working with. We don't just do the makeup and go back into the trailer and that's it, actively be a part of this process. So when you hear 2K, or 4K talked about, it's basically shorthand to describe the image capture or display resolution and the number of distinct units that we call pixels in that resolution that can be displayed, okay? So whether it's 2K or 4K in post-workflow editing or whether you're viewing it, 2K is quoted by its horizontal width and it's vertical height. That's the display, the screen display, or whatever you're looking at. It's the display. So, for example, when you see 1080p, everybody's heard 1080p, this means that the width of the display is 10 1,080 lines with a height of 1,920 pixels per line. Okay? So 2K is referred to as 2048p. So you're going to start hearing pretty soon in the future, I can't predict when, but it's going to be soon, 2480p, because 1080p is on its way out. We have camera sensors now that can capture higher resolution at 2048 horizontal lines of resolution. And with what we call a common resolution of 1,556 pixels per line. So what this means is that the HD cameras are now moving away from the 1080p format into a higher resolution capture. Now, our TV sets and our digital movie theaters don't have the projection capability to properly display 2K. So anything that's captured in 2K is down converted to fit the screen aspect ratio. So you're not actually seeing 2K. It's only captured in 2K. So it's down converted into post when it's posted to fit the actual screen aspect ratio. But it is a clearer, crisper, pixelated picture because the pixels contain a little bit more information. All right, now, let's go to 4K because this is not even on your horizon. It's in your life, in your job life, okay? Because if you work with a red camera, you've worked in 4K. 4K is 4096p, okay? It refers to a camera sensor like the red camera series that can capture at an even higher resolution, which is 4096 by 2160. So that's what? 496 represents the width of the display, and the 2160 is the amount of pixels in the height in each line. This is four times the overall pixelation of 1080p. That's four times the field right there. At this point in time, though, 4K capture and resolution is a workflow editing tool. It's not a broadcasting tool. And the Red camera really is simply a tool of capture of the fourth format. It's basically an editing tool, okay? Sony, JVC, and Panasonic all have their versions of 4K, but they're not quite at the 4096 field. But they're still considered relative to the field. They're still within that atmosphere of the field. We don't have any commercial transmitting or receiving equipment right now capable of handling and delivering this resolution for an end-to-end consumer viewing at this time. It just doesn't exist at all. So movies such as The Hobbit that were shot in the Red Epic camera in the 4K digital, they can be easily stored and down-converted to other viewing resolutions so that theaters, can broadcast them in their digital format. And it's great because it provides a great editing for final transfer to 35mm film for the final print, which is how movies are done today. That's standard procedure. Okay, now, are you guys with me so far?
Mm-hmm. Yes, we are.
Okay. I hope our viewing audience isn't thinking I'm too techie, but it's all for your own good. I care about you guys. Okay, so now we talked about 2K, right? We talked about 4K. So 2K is higher than the standard high definition. It's even higher than 1080p. Okay, it's a little bit bigger, and then 4K just jumps to twice that. Now, when we talk about, we're going to focus on 4K right now. When we talk about 4K resolution in terms of video capture and broadcast, we are talking about ultra-high definition TV. You're going to hear a new term called UHD TV. If you haven't heard it already, it's out there, okay? Used to be called, Japan used to call it super high definition. We talked about this probably a year and a half ago when that camera was still a prototype. So this is going to be it's an industry term now that means ultra-high definition TV, and that's what we're going to. It was announced on October 17th in 2012 by a coalition of international digital format designers and technology researchers and governing panels that these two digital video formats would be formally adopted as the universal standard for UHD TV. So it was adopted last year. That means it includes the 496p, which is 4K, and the other one, which is, you remember? Tell me you remember. Come on now.
Wait.
Yeah, look it up.
No, I'm trying to understand what your question is again. Can you repeat it again?
Oh, okay. All right. So the coalition announced on October 12th that they have formally adopted two digital video formats called UHD TV. 4K, which we just explained, which is now in existence, and I told you 2 years ago, 7680 was coming on the horizon. Well, guess what? That is 8K. 8K now has been formally adopted. 7680 is now on your horizon. You have to go back to a few shows ago where we talked about this. I think it was about a year and a half when it was still experimental. Well, guess not. It's coming. It's now a part of UHD TV. Okay? So 8K is 7680p. That means it is 7680 by 4320. That's 4,320 pixels per line. That is 16. That resolution is 16 times the pixels of 1080. That's almost close to the level of 70 millimeter film IMAX. You're getting close to IMAX there.
Mm.
Okay? So, and back at that time, I know we talked about the BBC's plans at that time to broadcast the 2012 Summer Olympics in 7680p. Well, they did. They set up 15-meter wide screens in three locales, one in London, one in Glasgow, Scotland, and the other one in the metropolis of Bradford in the north of England, for an absolute end-to-end transmission in 4K for the viewing audience. Of course, the BBC is the world's largest broadcasting and technology company, and they're always more eager than the U.S. to use government funding to jump on the Japan bandwagon for the latest and greatest in technology, which is kind of funny because their consumer demand and affordability is nowhere near the pace of changing technology, and we just sort of sit by and watch it happen. So they were technically in higher definition television for 40 years longer than we were. So they're even though they're a poorer country, they are just all about technology, and they just love whatever Japan kicks out. So anyway, the one unique takeaway that really, and this is my own personal view, the one thing that I take away from this that is driving all of this technology insanity is that once true 4K end-to-end transmission is a reality, as is in place, the human eye cannot detect, it will never be able to detect or distinguish between media shot on film and media recorded digital. It will be impossible, absolutely impossible. Because it just can't. It's beyond our ability to process in our brains. So anyway, having said all that, a funny little side note here is, boy, has Panasonic got a TV for you. They debuted their 152-inch TV screen. Their plasma, their flat plasma TV screen for a cool $500,000. This baby's $500,000. And it's billed as the world's largest 4K, 2K plasma TV, and it's equivalent to 9 50-inch TV screens and this thing weighs 1,272 pounds. Now, obviously, it's not for home viewing. It you don't have a home that has the depth for you to be able to stand back and view this properly. So they're using this more in public venues and in corporate viewing venues, that kind of thing, commercial venues. So the picture quality, the resolution in it is 4,096 by 2,160. So it is pretty impressive. It is. We're not even transmitting in the full 1080p format, so this is completely lost as far as concern on viewing, because you can't transmit this TV's capability. You can't transmit to its capability. So, there's a lot more reality that has to take place to be compatible with these industry toys. Also, plasma TVs aren't all that popular because of the image burn-in that you have. Plasma TVs are based on phosphor screen technology, and so image burn used to happen a lot, and that's where it's due to uneven wear on the phosphorus in the screen. If you let a static image sit on your screen for too long, that image can end up leaving a ghost of itself behind, and it looks like it's burned into the screen, and that used to be a huge, huge problem, but I don't know if they've corrected it. I don't have a plasma TV, so, but I'm sure people who have probably know what I'm talking about. So, before the crickets chirp, if I haven't lost anybody, I get going on this, and I realize, this is interesting. So, anyway, that's the latest update I have for you.
Well, us makeup folks, I mean, I know you just went over the four basic areas that we need to make sure we always
absolutely
keep in mind. Yeah.
Take away that those things will shout you out, and the greater the resolution, the greater the fear. And
right.
The more you are polished, the better your confidence is. I mean, it should be just like a blip on a radar screen, really. If you've got those mm-hmm. those skills down, you are good to go.
So what do you think some good tips are for coverage? And I know actually texture and finish kind of play into that.
Exactly. They're hand in hand, but they're separate, but they're hand in hand. They really are, because one will kick off the other, and then you've got a battle on your hands. You really do. You almost have to pull the makeup up, or you have to go to some ways of buffing it out, or some of the ways that work for you. I have several different ways that you can combat these things. I've been experimenting, actually, and this is with what I call an inking process of the skin. And in many cases, I find the inking process, and I'll tell you a little bit about that, if you've got really, really, really good skin, and I use this a lot on men as well, this particular inking process doesn't leave a texture on the skin. Rather, it blends into, it seems like it becomes part of the lipid layer. And let me explain. I take airbrush makeup, like Glamair. Mm-hmm. I use the Glamair for this. And I will, we actually, in the video, in the special effects video, we're going to show how to do the FX version of this, of creating your own ink palette. So that's really what I do, is I create my own ink palette. But with the Glamair, I take the airbrush liquid, and I take the empty 5 oil palettes that we sell, and I will pour a very thin layer in there, and I will let it sit for a week until it dries out. completely, mm-hmm. I'm talking about the skin tone, till it completely dries out. Then I will take the dilution fluid, which is the vehicle of the air, of the Glamair, with, I think it's called clear, I'm not in front of a computer, so I either clear medium or clear diluting fluid. One is FX Air, the other is, you want to mix the both. But a clear diluting medium is your best friend, because I will take I'll take out a little bit of the color. I'll scoop a little bit of it out, and I'll wash it down with a diluting fluid, and then I'll ink the skin with it. And it really gives an amazing, clean look. And sometimes with really problem skin, I will ink the skin before I put the foundation on. Well, that's what I've been doing lately. I'm going to share that with you. That's what I've been doing. Is depending upon it depends entirely upon the skin, but I get a much better performance. I will do, especially if I've got ruddy skin or skin mm-hmm. that, oh my gosh, I can't layer product on here because, you know, I'm thinking 4K now, ladies. I'm always thinking about how this is going to look in the red camera, how this is going to look here, you know, how this is going to look in a tight pose. So every face is different. But when you have this inking process in your back pocket, sometimes you can get away with just inking the skin and then just lightly, you know, color correcting it with a powder. So that works for me. That's one way to get around it. So that's a tip I will throw out there.
Mm-hmm. And so what about when you have those makeup artists who don't want to kind of sit and play around with different methods of, you know, getting that skin perfect and mm-hmm. and, you know, maybe they don't really have the opportunities to work in front of those cameras. And mm-hmm. like, what do you suggest for them for when they do get in front of those cameras and they have to be able to produce and they haven't had the practice? What do you suggest for them? Because there are some people, the main question they're going to ask is, you know, can I use the makeup that I have in my kit, or do I have to go out and buy something that says HD? What do you suggest
if
to
you
those
who use it within their kit? Color theory skills, and I mean, if here's my question. Let me answer this from a color theory point of view, because that's where color theory comes into play. If you've got XYZ in your kit, and you know that, oh, you know, these are, gosh, these skin tones are maybe more European than they are for the, you know, the basic American skin tones. How can I bring those around? Well, that's where color theory comes into play. If you know how to adjust and tone your products, if you have adjusters and toners, then you can trick out your products to have the correct value and temperature. But that's where color theory comes into play. You got to be able to be a good toner and adjuster. If you've got to make up that skin tone exactly. Plus, you've got to be under correct lighting. You've got to be at least in 45 to 5,000 K, what we call Kelvin temperature lighting. So that's the equivalent to noonday sun. Can't do your makeup in fluorescent lighting, can't do your makeup in incandescent lighting. You've got to be in daylight so you can see the skin tone exactly. So there's two elements that come into play. It's really going to depend on how good you are at reading the skin tone, color, and temperature, and translating that with your colors, with the stuff that you have in your kit. It always is going to come down to that. Because the camera is going to read the skin at the low end of daylight. I mean, it depends. Mm-hmm. It depends on if the. I mean, the camera is balanced. Let's just okay. Mostly be at 32 to 36. It really depends. It can go up to 38. It just really depends on the DP. But then you have your set lighting or your outdoor lighting or your bounce or whatever that's factored into that. So you have to aim for middle mark of how you're going to, what kind of lighting you're going to use to put on your talent. So the middle lighting in this is daylight. You can see skin tone exactly at daylight, which is around 48 to 5,000, even maybe 5,100K. I wouldn't go any higher than 52 because then it gets into colder, blue, more blue lighting, and you don't want that. It blows out the yellow and the red in the skin. So you want to blow out the yellow and the red in the skin. You don't want to blow out the blue and the green in the skin. That's why you need daylight so you can see all temperatures in the skin. So, you know, I guess that's kind of a long way answer, but it really comes down to how good are you at reading skin tones and doing it under correct lighting. And then when you get that, the makeup done, you better go right to monitor and take a look at it and see and be able to make your adjustments right on the spot. You have to be able to have enough skill to know how to manipulate your makeup up or down according to the way that the DIT is adjusting the chromas in the camera. There's a lot of other factors. We talk about this in the HDMU class, but there's a lot of things that you have to be able to adjust up or down right on the spot. So if your makeup isn't working for you, I would say it's time to invest in a line that will work for you under pressure and under speed, you know.
Right.
You don't have time to figure. You do not have time to keep figuring out and figuring it out. If it's not working for you, dump it. That's the best investment you'll ever make. Because
let me ask you.
It's all about time.
You mentioned correct lighting. If you're you go to do a job and you're in a makeup room or on a hair and makeup trailer. Or they just put you in a random room that's not even used for hair and makeup.
You pack your own light, no matter what. Pack your own
skill. What is correct lighting? Because if I'm packing my own lights, then what should I be packing?
If I was going to put a color temperature reader on your light, it better kick out a spill of around 48 to 5,100 Kelvin. So that means that it's a tungsten with a quarter blue. That's the short translation. If it's a tungsten light, you throw a quarter CPB filter on it, and it'll bring that temperature right up to 48, 49, and you're in a good zone. I never, ever go on location without lighting. Never, never have, never will. It's like death to your makeup. If you can't see what you're doing, even your color palettes, even your foundation, looks different in different lighting. So daylight, I have done tests, numerous tests over the years on make. I would do a grayscale test on them to be able to have them, there's this little test that I do, to be able to see to what degree that they could distinguish the grayscale of a certain color. And I noticed that when I had lower temperature lighting, such as around like 32 at what the camera balance is at, a lot of them could only see full steps in color. When I raised the color temperature up to 45 to 48, they started to be it started to compensate for the skew. Everyone has a slight skew of color blindness. Well, that starts to go away because when you have the full spectrum shining down, that is revealing the true color of whatever the foundation or the color palette, everybody starts to see it in half steps. Some people can even see it in third steps. So everyone starts to move together on that grayscale. The higher the temperature in daylight, the more everybody was within just a hair steps of each other. So that just tells you that when you have full middle daylight spilling down on your talent, on your makeup palettes, on your foundation, on the skin, you're going to be seeing them at optimal visual value. That means the retina in your eye is reading its full ability to decipher the color. I hope that makes sense. But it basically what it is that the lower the temperature, the more a person's slight color blindness comes into play, because we all have it. Everyone has it on the planet. Nobody sees color infinitesimally the same. But when you raise the level of the brightness or the spectrum to where all of the and this gets into complicated light theory, and I don't want to, you know, go down this rabbit trail path. I'm just trying to make it really simple. The bottom line is between 4800K and 5100K, about 99% of makeup artists will be able to see the color in full bloom. They will be able to see faces in full bloom. It's like a full bloom color. Let's just put it that way without getting too complicated. And, you know, for 20 years testing artists and as many years as I've been able to carry a portable light, I started out carrying a little pro light, a little pepper light, years and years ago, and I would put a quarter blue on it, and, you know, it just started to catch on. I did that for many years on the West Coast, and it started to catch on here. So, and it's part of your kit. When they hire you, when a production company hires you, your kit should contain your own lighting. You should be a full up. It should not be to where you have to ask production to give you a light. That's not good. You need to be able to be 100%. When they pay for your kit, that means they pay for you to do your job top to bottom, front to back. You don't need to borrow anything. You come fully equipped. You come fully equipped with the skill to be able to translate your talent for that image capture in camera. That's how I view it completely. And that's how I, you know, went through my career, is that I need to be fully engaged and being able to do it on my own. And there's no reason why any makeup artist can't do the same, because this is not rocket science at all. We're gonna do it. It's just simply elevating your skill and making you a better artist. So, yes, you need to have your own light. Now, we used, for years and years, we sold the stick-up light. I had an issue with the company in that I felt they were kind of lacking in quality, shall we say. So I have discontinued selling that, and I'm on the search right now for a portable light. And in fact, I'm looking for an LED version now. The problem with LED is that they don't have the science worked out yet. It's either too hot or it's too cold. They haven't gotten the electrons adjusted enough to where you don't have to filter them to death. So I haven't found something that I like to replace it yet, but I am testing one right now that has some potential. The only downside is that it's a little heavy to carry around, so it's not as big as the Glamcore at all, which I don't like at all. But it's a little more portable than that, but I'm not satisfied with its output yet. So I'm working with this company to see if they will customize the output for what makeup artists need.
Gotcha. Amy, what's the one thing out of tonight's discussion would you say that makeup artists need to remember to focus on or in their makeup
and
in regard to HD and all the new
color
cameras?
Color coverage, texture, and finish.
That right there is the key. Okay.
I don't think any of us will ever get past that. I won't get past
that.
I just won't. I'm still not. I'm still very conscious. Now, I'm very happy with the products that I use. I won't change because I have it down as a science for me, because let's face it, we have to work under speed. We have to be able to get it done before they ask. So that's another thing, is that you have to have your combination of products down and your speed down to where, you know, you're done before they ask for you. That's really important. I mean, especially in, you know, in my years in TV, speed is definitely a factor. I don't know about you guys, but it is. And we all tend to go to our core products, right, that deliver speed for us and accuracy.
Right.
All right. Well, Suzanne, don't take another year to come back to us now.
Oh, I always enjoy talking to you guys. You know that.
You gave some great information.
I hope it was helpful. I hope it was helpful to everyone out there. Did anybody have any questions?
It's definitely helpful. You know, some of them are afraid to get on the phone and talk.
Oh, please. Oh, come on. No way. You gotta be bold and you gotta be brave enough. You know, there's no wrong questions. There's no silly questions. This stuff, I mean, they probably have really serious questions that they want to ask, and this is a really good time to do that. And it's, you know, this is all about, you know, empowering you guys and making you guys strong.
Exactly.
It really is.
Well, definitely keep us posted for your April 28th seminar. Let us know the details of that so we can let everyone know. If that sounds like it's going to be very, very interesting and worth being there for.
Well, I've been really bad about keeping up on Twitter and Facebook. It just gets really it's really hard sometimes to keep up with all of the social networking stuff. You guys know I don't have an iPhone or anything like that, so I just have a regular phone, so I don't keep up with the latest and the greatest. But you know, it's,
Do you keep up with the latest and greatest?
No, I'm so technologically unadvanced when it comes to phones and stuff like that. I like to be in control, you know. Sometimes I don't look at my email. I'll be busy all day and I don't get to it till night. And it's just one of those things, I guess. It's bad, but it is. But anyway. I promise to try and be better about keeping postings up, but definitely for sure, you know, anybody can always email me if they have a question too. So I answer everybody's emails. I do get around.
Tell us your email.
Well, you can go to SuzannePatterson.com, and then I have a contact page with my email on it if you want to email me directly. So just go to SuzannePatterson.com. Otherwise, it's Suzanne@CreativeArtistryEffects.com.
All right. So you all heard that. If you have questions, go out and send Suzanne a question.
I'm happy, absolutely happy to answer. And I will post that that Red seminar on my workshop website. I will post it on there so they can definitely look for that. It will be, I just need to nail down with Matt the time and the location, and I just don't have that yet. He's still working on that. We're thinking of maybe doing it at Henninger, but we're trying to do it closer to D.C. so it's more central for everybody. But it will be on the 28th of April. So if you want to set that date aside and then just bookmark it and wait, you know, email me or look for it on Twitter or Facebook. But I hope you all go to Fame Expo. I think that's going to be a wonderful, wonderful event. It just sounds really great, and I think it'll be wonderful. I think it'll be a huge success.
Yeah, I do too.
Definitely. Well, thank you again, Suzanne. We look forward to hearing from you again soon. We're going to keep all this in mind. And,
all right.
We're going to be looking out for that seminar in April.
All right. Y'all take care. Love talking to you. See you again.
Thank you.
All right, have a good night. Thanks to you all for listening tonight. And if you like tonight's show, go out and mark it as a favorite here on Blog Talk Radio. And again, leave all your questions and comments on
and
our
can
Facebook page.
I'm sorry. I was just wondering, can I just give some more information on FAME? Because some people were wondering about, like, early ticket prices and things like that. And, again, I just want to let everybody know that the FAME Expo, it's spelled P-H-A-M-E Expo. It's a professional hair and beauty exhibition, actually. And it's basically for everyone. It's open to the public, but it's going to also have pro-only hours. And those pro-only hours are going to be Saturday from 9 a.m. to 10:30 a.m., along with the pro-only lounge that will have, like, special offerings for working pros. So just you can follow up on the website for more information on that. And then to register for the expo, you can, again, go to the website, which is fameexpo.com, P-H-A-M-E-X-P-O.com. And the show hours are going to be, again, the Saturday pro-only time from 9 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. And then that's general admission is going to be from 10:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. And then on Sunday, general admission is pretty much all day, 10 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. Again, it's open to the public, and it will have specific pro-only hours. And, again, it's on that Saturday from 9 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. Ticket prices. From now up until May 27th at 5 p.m., you can get a regular one-day ticket for $40, and then you can get a two-day ticket for $70. And I'm encouraging you all to take advantage of the early ticket prices, because after May 27th at 5 p.m., the tickets go up, and you can purchase tickets at the door for $45 for one day and $80 for 2 days. So please take advantage of your the early ticket prices up until May 27th. That's $40 for a one-day ticket, $70 for a two-day ticket. And, again, you can win tickets here on Beauty Talk. If you're listening to the show tonight or if you were in the chat room tonight, all you have to do is go to Facebook to our Beauty Talk online radio Facebook page, like that page, and leave a comment telling us what you thought about tonight's show or what you thought about any of our Beauty Talk episodes, as well as leave a comment stating that you heard about the FAME Expo here on Beauty Talk. And then you can email us your mailing address, or we'll respond to that comment. And then you can email email your mailing address to illusionsbeauty@gmail.com.
All right. Thanks a bunch. And, again, leave your comments and questions on our Facebook page, Beauty Talk with Illusions Online Radio, and we'll make sure we get back to you guys. Stay tuned to that Facebook page as well as our our beauty_talk page on Twitter. Stay tuned to both pages where we'll make announcements about our guests each week. Thank you again for joining us tonight, and I hope you learned something from Suzanne tonight. And as always, continue to be beautiful and blessed. Have a good night.
Good night.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.